This is the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks on KQV with expert advice from CPA attorney and retirement and estate planning expert, Jim Lang, the best-selling author of Retire Secure and the Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. Now on the air and online worldwide at RetireSecure.com. Get ready to talk smart money.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks. I'm David Baer with Jim Lang, CPA, attorney, and author of two best-selling books, Retire Secure and The Roth Revolution, Pay Taxes Once and Never Again. As you approach retirement, decisions you make about taking Social Security will have long-term consequences. Every case is different, but making the right choices will greatly increase the future financial security for you, your spouse, and your heirs. To share insights for maximizing your benefits, we welcome nationally recognized Social Security expert, prolific author, and Boston University professor of economics, Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff, back to the show. An active columnist, his work appears in the Financial Times, Bloomberg, Forbes, and The Economist, Huffington Post, and the PBS NewsHour. His latest book, The Clash of Generations, Saving Ourselves, Our Kids, and Our Retirement, is winning praise, as did his 2008, Spend Till the End, The Revolutionary Guide to Raising Your Living Standard, Today and When You Retire. In addition to his myriad academic accomplishments, Dr. Kotlikoff has created software that the Washington Post has called the deepest and most powerful financial planning engine. He's also a financial consultant to numerous Fortune 500 companies. Today he and Jim will cover topics and intricate questions about Social Security, a subject far more complex than most listeners realize. He's a knowledgeable, entertaining guest, so it's sure to be an interesting and informative hour. And listeners, since our show is live, you can join the conversation. Call the KQV studios at 412-333-9385 with your comments and questions. Again, that's 412-333-9385. And with that, I'll say hello, Jim, and welcome Dr. Kotlikoff.
Welcome, Larry.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You know, before we even get started, I have a quick Larry Kotlikoff story. Larry was on the show, I think, actually a couple times, but one time he just gave me some wonderful insights on Social Security, and I was writing my Roth IRA book, and I wanted to do some work on the interrelationship between Roth IRAs and Social Security. So I wrote a section in the book, and I thought, boy, there's nobody in the world that would be better to review this section than Larry Kotlikoff. So I emailed it to him, and I said, Larry, if you could review this little section, I would sure appreciate it. And he not only reviewed it, but he actually added about a page and a half of, just his own thoughts that were relevant and that was right on. And of course, I included it in my book. And when I published the book, my editor at the time was my mom, who was a retired journalism professor. And my mom was very liberal with the red pen. So all throughout the manuscript, there was all kinds of red pens, comments, things that I did wrong. But for the page and a half that Larry wrote, at the there wasn't one red mark, and at the bottom of the page and a half, she wrote, "Very good." So in addition to all his economic accolades and everything else, Larry was one of the few survivors of my mom's editing. So Larry, thank you again for that. And
oh, thank your editor. That's a fun story for me.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
So you did a great job. One of the problems with having Larry on the show, and we did promise a Social Security show, and we're certainly going to cover Social Security, but that's really just like one part of Larry's expertise. It's so broad, and Spend Till the End has so many very good, important financial tips and actions to take. I really recommend that. That's Spend Till the End by Larry Kotlikoff. And the other book that he has that is more recent, which is probably more of a prescription for the country, Larry says our country is broker than broke, and it's The Clash of Generations, Save Ourselves, Our Kids, and Our Economy, which is really a fine book. And after Larry paints this horrendously gloomy picture. He then gives the solution to our problems and then says, well, probably we'll never get it together to solve these problems, so here is what the individual should do. So Larry, you really are really prolific and have such great information.
Well, I've got a little help. My co-author on both books is Scott Burns, who's a noted financial columnist with the Dallas Morning News. He's a fantastic guy and a fantastic thinker about financial issues, both kind of personal and global, national.
Well, actually, the book has tremendous reviews and was very powerful, and I loved, you know, the part that, frankly, I spent the most time on was the section that you actually said, okay, so we're probably in real trouble. Here's what you guys should do to defend yourselves, and hopefully we'll get to that. In fact, we will get to that tonight. But I don't want to skip the issue of Social Security, particularly because we promised it and because I think that there's so much that people can do. So there's a lot of people, let's say, listening who are in their early to mid-60s, and they're thinking, boy, you know, I've been working all these years, and let's even keep a simple case so that they're now retired, and what they want to do is they want to make sure to get their Social Security because they don't know what's going to happen to the country, and they're a little bit worried, and this way they don't want to go into their savings if they can help it, or at least not for as much money as they would otherwise have. So they want to take their Social Security. So Larry, what would you tell somebody? Let's start with a simple situation. Let's call it a single person. What would you tell somebody who is in their early 60s and really wants to take Social Security starting now?
Well, I would say this is a very complicated system. It's more complicated, really, than the federal income tax. And there are certain strategies for getting more benefits. And there's basically three general rules. Rule one is to delay taking benefits when some of these benefits are going to rise dramatically if you wait. So that's rule number one. Rule number two is to make sure you take all the benefits that are available to you. A lot of people don't realize that if you're, for example, widowed, you can get a widow's benefit. If you're divorced and you were married for 10 years or more, you can get a benefit based on your ex's earnings record if you play your cards right. And the third rule is to make sure that doing the first rule doesn't screw up doing the second rule. Because you can, if you take your own benefits, own retirement benefit at the wrong time, you'll wipe out these other benefits that are available to you. So we've developed, I have a company, financial planning software company, that has a software program called Maximize My Social Security, and for $40 people can get, find out what's going to actually give them the highest, what strategy in terms of collecting which benefits at which time will generate the highest lifetime benefits.
Before you go on, could you give...
I could go through some examples. Is that is a good idea for you?
Before you do that, could you give everybody how they could get a hold of that software? Now, very frankly, I have not examined that particular software, but I have looked at some of your other software at ES Planner, and I think that is brilliant. Obviously, now the one that I know is the one, which, by the way, I would still recommend for anybody, particularly for people who like to kind of plot things out. And actually, one of your suggestions is to get an idea where you're going. The one I was thinking of is at www.esplanner.com. And the basic one, which is free, it's www.esplanner.com/basic. And then there's a, let's say, a more advanced one, which is that www.esplanner.com?
Yeah. Sorry about the background noise, Jim. It's just getting into a plus fireplace in a second.
Okay.
But Yeah, the place where our Social Security software is, where you can buy it for $40, it's called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Just MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. And for $40, you can get the right answer.
Well, again, you know, I haven't looked at that software, but I will just tell you that every software and every...
And Jim, could you speak up a little bit? I'm having a really hard time hearing you.
Okay, I was going to say that every piece of software and every book that you've written has been really excellent, so I imagine that this is too. But going back to our example, why don't we just start with a simple example, a single person in his early 60s, not divorced, not widowed, let's even say never married, has an earnings record, and let's say an average life expectancy. What general advice? Now, your general rule was to delay if you can, if the benefit will increase. Is that what you would typically tell somebody in that situation who is single?
Well, somebody in that situation would be, in general, if they can swing their cash flow issues, they should wait till they're 70, because taking benefits at 62 will produce benefits that are much lower over their lifetime than if they wait till 70. Social Security provides a terrific incentive to waiting to collect. So your benefits at 70, adjusted for inflation, are 76% higher than at 62. So for a single person who's never been married, the basic story is try and wait till 70 and collect a much higher number for, you can live to 100, so... If you 76% higher benefits for 30 years amounts to a huge amount. Now, if you're married or divorced or widowed, things get much more complicated. And there, because you've got this other benefit, if you're married, you can get a spousal benefit. And if you're divorced, you can get a spousal benefit if you were married for 10 or more years, and if you're widowed, you can get a survivor benefit. So then the question is, how can you get those benefits without how can you get those benefits as well as get your retirement benefit? And the story there is to sequence them. You want to basically try and double dip and get both benefits. And the secret to double what happens is if you take them both at the same time, the retirement benefit will either fully or partially wipe out the other benefit. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is try and take the one of those benefits first. So, for example, if you're a survivor, you may want to take your survivor benefit before your retirement benefit, or... Actually, for some people, it might be better to take the retirement benefit first and then take the survivor benefit, because you will get the larger of the two. So the survivor benefit can wipe out the retirement benefit if it's bigger than the retirement benefit, but the retirement benefit can also wipe out the survivor benefit if the retirement benefit is bigger. So you see the thing, the idea here. You have to be careful. The ideal thing is to take one benefit first, and then let the other benefit grow, because Social Security provides this huge return to the other benefit growing.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I saw in your analysis that was so wonderful when we talked about both apply and suspend and the survivor's benefit, and even if you were married 10 years and have the divorce. And the other thing that I always remember that you were saying is back when we were talking about the single person, I'd mentioned that I'd kind of done some math, and depending on the interest rate that you use, that your, quote, break-even point was 84 years old, and if you lived beyond 84, you were better off waiting, and if you died before age 84, that you'd be better off taking it early. And then I remember your comment was, well, if you do it early and you die, you're dead. It doesn't matter. That's not your problem. Your problem is living a long time and not receiving enough income in your older age.
And yeah, from everything we know, you don't need money in heaven. Heaven is supposed to be free, right? Heaven is supposed to be heaven, and it doesn't require money. You don't need to have rubles or dollars or shekels or
yen. Of course, you do need a charge card if you go to the other place, I think.
Say again?
You need a charge card if you go to the other place. So
exactly, yeah. And so the real concern is living. That's the real danger. It's not dying. Dying is cheap. Living is expensive. And so you have to really value the insurance component of Social Security, which is going to be coming a benefit coming to you right up to your maximum age of life. So in our software, we fully incorporate that. We say, let's figure out your benefits in the worst-case scenario, which is you live to 100. You can set your own maximum age of life in the software, but the default value is 100. And then, you know, if you take, a lot of people think that Social Security is just an issue for lower-income people. It's relatively more important for low-income people, but somebody who's been earning the taxable maximum, if they do the typical thing that people have done in the past, which is a husband and wife both go and get their benefits at age 62, they'll get about if they're currently around 60, if they decide they're going to take their benefits at 62, they'll get about $1,400,000 in benefits. If they wait till, if they do the right thing and get a free spousal benefit for one of the two, and then wait for till 70 for them both to take their retirement benefits, which in the example I have in my mind, in this case where they're both earning at the maximum, maximum taxable level for their entire careers, then their benefits, their lifetime benefits, go up from 1.4 to about 1.8 million. So there's about a $400,000 gain in lifetime benefits. Actually, it's 1.2 to about 1.6 million. So there's about a $400,000 lifetime gain from doing the right thing. So a lot of people, for almost everybody, actually, Social Security is either the biggest asset they've got, or apart from their house, or the second biggest financial asset. And figuring out how to maximize your benefits is very important. There are strategies, you know, the way that a couple that's both 62 can get a free spousal benefit is they, if they're both pretty good earners, is to have one of them at full retirement age do something called file and suspend. They go in, they ask for the retirement benefit, but then they suspend its collection. That permits the other spouse to apply just for a spousal benefit and not, because they're applying just for a spousal benefit, their own retirement benefit isn't being taken and therefore doesn't wipe out their own spousal benefit. So they can get what's called a full spousal benefit, and that will equal half of their partner's full retirement benefit. So if the full retirement benefit is, let's say, $30,000 for a high earner, half of that $15,000, so let's say the wife collects, say, $15,000 for 4 years, between full retirement age 66 and 70, and then switches to take her $30,000, well, maybe $35,000 a year retirement benefit, that's, in effect, $60,000, $15,000 for 4 years, $60,000 for free, compared to not doing that. So, meanwhile, her own retirement benefit is growing 8% a year. It doesn't compound, but every year that she waits between 66 and 70, the benefit is 8% more. So if you wait between 66 and 70, your benefit starting at 70 is 4 times 8, 32% higher than at age 66. So that's, you're not losing anything by waiting. You're getting this terrific gain from having a 32% higher benefit from age 70 through 100, but you're also collecting a free spousal benefit. Now, both spouses can't do this. One of them will, because one of them, if they both filed and suspended, they would both kind of wiped out their spousal benefit. They'd both be perceived by Social Security to be collecting both retirement and spousal benefits at the same time, and then you have one benefit zapping the other. So that's where the complexity comes in. If these husband and wife were divorced, then they could both actually get a free spousal benefit, because Social Security, in that case, allows them both to collect. So Social Security actually has incentives for married people to get divorced. This couple I'm talking about could pick up an extra $60,000 by getting divorced, living in sin, and remarrying again at 70. And then you've got other people that are living in sin right now who have big incentives to get married because of Social Security, because it only takes about a year. It takes a year for you to be married before your spouse that you've just married can collect a spousal benefit on your account. And then if you kick off, that person can collect a survivor benefit on your account.
Before we take a break, do you have any words of wisdom for people who aren't in the position of waiting? I mean, some these days people lose jobs and there are other issues. Is there anything that they can do?
Well, it's very difficult. Not everybody can wait, obviously. But if they have other assets like retirement account assets, 401k assets, IRA assets, using those to get by, you can also start your benefit at 62. Suppose you had a pension coming in at 65,
mm-hmm.
and you started your own benefit, Social Security benefit, at 62. Well, when you get to full retirement age, which is currently 66, you can actually suspend your benefit. So suppose you're a current beneficiary, you started taking benefits at 62. You come to 66, you can suspend your benefit. You can't do it before full retirement age, but at full retirement, you can suspend it, and you can start it up again at 70, and it will be 32% higher forever.
So even if you've already taken it, you can still suspend it at 66?
Yeah, at any time after full retirement age.
Right.
You do have to pay your Medicare premiums, Part B premiums, out of pocket. Otherwise, they will really screw you. They will not give you your benefit and not give you any increase in your benefit for those 4 years or however long you suspend it. So you want to make sure to pay your Medicare premium out of pocket. Otherwise, they will, in effect, reactivate your suspended benefit but not actually pay it to you.
So you don't get the credit for it. Then.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they will tell you. Social Security is not to be trusted. The people are well-meaning, but the system is too complicated for the people who are administrating it, the local staff people. There are technical experts who really are brilliant in knowing the system, but they're few and far between. So you basically don't want anything that Social Security says to you, because I've got people writing me all the time, emailing me all the time, or calling me. They're getting very bad advice because people just are not trained well enough. You're talking about a system where the formula for a married person's benefit involves 10 mathematical functions, one of which is in four dimensions. Some of these mathematical functions of these 10 functions are minimum and maximum functions, so they're complicated animals. And nobody in Congress who passed legislated this stuff has any idea what they've done to people. They've made a basic retirement system that nobody can remotely understand on his own.
Well,
and that's why we developed our software to try and help people in this.
Well, on that note, let's take a quick break.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
And welcome back to the Lang Money Hour with Jim Lang and Dr. Lawrence Kotlikoff.
And before we get started, I just wanted to remind listeners of three resources that we have mentioned, all of which I recommend. One is Larry's book with Scott Burns called Spend Till the End. The second one, which is the more recent book, which is really more of a what's wrong with the country, what we can do about it, but also has a very good section on what you can do to save yourselves, is called The Clash of Generations, Saving Ourselves, Our Kids, and Our Economy. And the last, the software that I know that I think is excellent and also free, by the way, is at www.esplanner.com/basic. And Larry, what was the other one, Maximize Your Social Security?
Yeah, we have actually esplanner.com, just without the basic, is our more detailed financial planner. But the other program is called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com.
Okay.
And
that's
just a standalone Social Security program that helps you figure out all this stuff. It's so complicated.
Okay. The thing that I wanted to add to your idea of holding off and delaying, because the analysis that I did, actually at the time when you actually added a whole section, you were allowed to give back your Social Security. Now, since then, that law has been repealed.
Yeah, because I and others made a lot of noise about that, the Social Security Administration decided to limit people's ability to repay and repay their benefits with no interest charge whatsoever and start them up at a higher level. That ability has been limited to just 1 year. Before, you could do it basically any age between when you started the benefits and age 70. That was the only, at the time that it would made sense. But that option is no longer on the table. But you do have a year. So if you have actually started your benefits within the last year and you think you've made a mistake, you do have the option to repay everything you got. But you're going to have to, if you started taking Medicare, you're going to have to pay the premiums that you have to repay, not just what you got in your, in the Social Security check, but they subtracted your Medicare premiums from your check, so you're going to have to pay those as well when you restart.
Right, and when you wrote that it was a good idea to give it back, I took it a step further and said if you give it back, you get a tax deduction and then do a Roth IRA conversion in the same year. And what I wanted to add to, which is now obviously not good law except for the 1 year, but what I wanted to add is one of the advantages of holding off and delaying, which is what you advocated in general, subject to a couple exceptions early on, was that if you are delaying your Social Security, and let's say you are retired and you have other funds to spend, particularly if you have money outside retirement plans, then you will be in a low tax bracket because you don't have your wages, you don't have your Social Security, you don't have your minimum required distribution from your IRA or retirement plan. That is the ideal year to make a Roth IRA conversion, and if you have this period for a number of years, then you can actually do a series of conversions. And I ran some numbers. Now, I only ran them till age 86, but the difference between doing... even if you were going to do small Roth IRA conversions, even if you took your Social Security early, but the difference between waiting and doing the apply and suspend technique is the numbers I ran were you were better off by $219,000, and that's in today's dollars. And then if you live till age 86 and you die and you leave the money to your, leave everything that you have to your children, that you will have so much more money in the Roth IRAs that will be very advantageous for them, and that they'll be better off by more than $500,000 in today's dollars. So when you said something like this isn't only a good strategy for lower and middle income, but also for upper income, and frankly, you don't even have to be really upper income to take advantage of that, there's just enormous benefits of using the best strategies for Social Security. And then what I want to add to the table is the synergy of figuring out the appropriate Roth IRA conversion along with the best Social Security. And I actually think it's a synergistic combination. that can be calculated together.
Yeah, so our software, the ES Planner, the one we sell for $199 to households for the ES Planner Plus, is ideal for figuring out whether the Roth conversion is going to increase your living standard. And you're exactly right, Jim, that if you do have an IRA or 401k that you can convert to an IRA and then to a regular IRA and then do the conversion to a Roth IRA during a period when your tax bracket is low, when you then take your money out starting after age 70 from the Roth will not be counted as adjusted gross income for purposes of determining whether or not Social Security benefits are subject to taxation. So the play here is to take out your 401k and IRA money when your tax rate is low. That's part of the play. But the other play is to have the withdrawals occur from a Roth once you started taking Social Security benefits, because those Social Security benefits, there are thresholds beyond which your Social Security benefits are subject to federal income taxation, and the thresholds depend on your adjusted gross income. So if you can keep your adjusted gross income down, not as much of your Social Security benefits will be subject to taxation, and up to 85% of your Social Security benefits can be subject to taxation. If we're talking about somebody with even a 20% marginal tax rate, 80% of 20% is, it's another 16% of your Social Security benefits go away. So that's not any fun either. So, you're absolutely right that there are ways to take Uncle Sam's best deal, and Uncle Sam's in effect telling us that we have the options to decide when we want to pay our taxes and when we want to take our Social Security benefits and which ones we want to take. And by playing around with these different choices, we can, in effect, figure out how much we want to actually pay Uncle Sam and get from Uncle Sam. So it's like a freebie waiting there if you can actually optimize, and we now have the tools to do this.
Well, again,
and they're affordable. I'm talking about, I gave you the example of saving somebody at $400,000 just by buying a $40 product, and that's certainly worth the investment. And if your people aren't happy with it, we would refund the payment. So it's, and I don't make my living out of this software. I basically keep five American engineers employed, which is a huge honor and privilege and pleasure. But I'm an academic. I work for Boston University. I don't make any money off my company. I'm just there to, from my perspective, to keep some people employed, but also to help people with this incredibly complicated system and these decisions.
Well, Larry, I would love to keep talking about Social Security and Roth, you have so many other areas, and I do want to mention a couple of the ideas that you had two of your books, Spend Till the End and The Clash of Generations, Saving Ourselves, Our Kids, and Our Economy. And one question that I did have for you, I know in Spend Till the End, you were a big fan of annuitizing, which is in effect where you, in lieu of a pension, you give an insurance company a certain chunk of money, and in return they give you a monthly income for the rest of your life, or perhaps if you're married you want to protect your spouse.
Hey, Jim, I need you to shout a little bit because I'm really losing you.
Okay.
Voice-wise.
All right.
That's much better.
Okay. I wanted to mention that you were early a big fan of annuitizing, where you, in effect, give the insurance company a certain chunk of money, and in return, they give you an income for the rest of your life, or if you're married and you want to secure both your and your spouse's income, they would give you a smaller amount, but they would give it to you for the rest of both of your lives. And I know that you were a fan of the idea of annuitizing, particularly for people who didn't have traditional pensions. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on annuitizing now that interest rates are so low, whether you still think annuitizing is a good idea or whether you think it's a good idea, but maybe we should hold off a little bit until interest rates go up.
Well, I guess I would try and wait a little bit to see. I think real interest rates will go up. The most important concern I have about annuitizing is that you're making a bet on two. There's two concerns. One is inflation. So you really want to buy an annuity that's indexed for inflation, that's protected against inflation. I wouldn't touch any annuity that's not inflation indexed. And I'm talking about 100% inflation index. I'm not talking about an annuity that's graded that grows at, let's say, 3% a year. That's not protecting anybody against inflation. The insurance companies will claim that's an insurance protection, but it's not. Because if inflation goes to 10 or 15% or 20%, which it certainly could, given how much money Ben Bernanke has been printing, he's more than tripled the basic money supply since taking office, well, since 2007. We could have very high inflation, so a 3% growth in your annuity will mean nothing if inflation's 10% a year. You'll just be wiped out. So if you're buying an annuity that's 100% inflation indexed, the risk is you'll die, and then your kids will not inherit so much money because you would have spent it on this thing that disappears when you die. But the big advantage is that if you continue to live, you will get this payment. But then comes the second caveat, which is, will the insurance company be there when you are? In other words, if you live to 100, you're 70, you make it 30 years, will that insurance company still be solvent and be there to pay you? So you don't want to buy all your annuities from one insurance company. You want to think about hedging that insurance company risk. You know, the company that has the most affordable, has pretty affordable annuities right now. I'm not sure if they're still selling the inflation index ones, but for a while there, the cheapest ones were from AIG. Now, we know what happened with AIG. You could say today that AIG is the safest insurance company around because it's basically owned by the government, but I think the government's probably divesting its stock, or maybe has already, but you know what happened. We all know what happened to AIG, and that could happen to the next insurance company that we buy an annuity from. So you have to be careful about what company you're using, and not put all your eggs in one company. Not buy everything from one company. But if you do that, and if you get an inflation indexed annuity, and you wait a little bit until real interest rates go up, which they only have one direction to go, which is up, then I think this is a good investment, because you want to build a floor to your living standard, a safe floor. Having a house gives you a stream of housing services that's safe. Having an annuity gives you a floor. Having Social Security benefits gives you another floor. So you're building floors to your living standard. And then things like investing in the stock market, they can be upsides to your living standard if you don't count on that money. If you say, look, I'm going to put money in the stock market, I'm going to treat it like going to the casino, and if it does well, once I'll take the winnings and I'll convert them to safe assets, so like a safe annuity, I'll buy more safe annuities, and then I'll spend more out of this higher floor. But I won't count on the stock market doing well, because if I do that, if I spend assuming the stock market will do well, I'm setting myself up for a possible decline in my living standard, because the stock market might fall apart like it did in 2008 and 2000, and in which case I'll have to have a dramatic decline in my spending and my living standard, and that's not really what anybody wants. So I call this kind of strategy upside investing, and our software at ESPlanet.com is set up to do upside investing for people, or show people how to do that.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned,
Jim, you're talking. You shout again, okay?
I'm sorry. One of the things that you mentioned in your book is that we are, in your own words, broker than broke, and you have some really not terribly optimistic thoughts about what might happen to the United States. Before I even get to those, let me circle around back to Social Security, and let me ask you the potential argument against delaying Social Security. Gee, how do I know that the Social Security system will even be there?
I better take it early. Yeah, that's great that I'm going to get an extra $400,000 if I make it till age 90 or 100 or whatever age you calculated, or the one I did, which was $219,000. But what happens if the Social Security system goes bust? And probably you, as a world recognized economist, are in a much better position than probably the vast majority of people to answer that objection. So could
good question. Social Security is in really bad long term fiscal shape. If you look at the table 4B6 of the trustees report that was put out in April, you'll see that the Social Security system is 32% underfinanced. So this means that what we really need to do is either raise taxes, FICA taxes for Social Security, which is a 12.4% tax rate. Now we have to increase that by 4 cents, by 4 percentage points, up to 16.2, starting immediately and permanently. 16.4. Or we have to immediately and permanently cut everybody's Social Security benefits, including disability benefits, by 22%, 23%. So the system is in really crazy shape. President Obama, who I love dearly on a lot of fronts for a lot of reasons, is saying the system just needs to be tweaked. That's a gross misstatement, and it's a huge disservice to the public and to the next generation who's going to have to try and pay this huge bill. The reality is that Social Security is in terrible fiscal shape if you look at the right numbers. And the right numbers are already sitting right there in the trustees report in Table 4B6. And what this means is that they're going to have to, at some point, there's going to be a crisis. Now, for current retirees, I don't think there's any possibility of their benefits being directly cut. What may happen is that income tax rates may go up, so that people that are higher earners end up paying higher tax rates on the 50 to 85% of the Social Security benefits that are subject to taxation. And then we might also see the ceiling on the amount of earnings that are subject to taxation lifted. That's now about 113,000. That could be completely lifted. That would deal with about 60% actually of Social Security's long-term problem. If we made everybody who was earning more than $113,000 pay another 12.4% of every dollar they earn for the rest of their lives. But the rich people don't like to pay taxes, and losing 12.4% of most of their earnings won't make them happy. So we're in a huge dilemma here. So our software is set up to allow you to specify that there will be benefit cuts, but I think that that's still a very unlikely scenario for people that are very close to retirement or are already collecting benefits. I see the government trying to postpone addressing this thing by doing something that affects younger people adversely, but does it in very convoluted ways that nobody will actually see. I mean, if you look at the actual tax code that specifies the taxation of Social Security benefits, it's incredibly complicated. The worksheet for that, if you really look at that, that's an incredibly complicated piece of tax legislation. And right there, the one pager in the IRS form, it's just very convoluted. Nobody can really understand that easily. So we say that 50 to 85% of your benefits, or 85% of your benefits, can be subject to taxation. That's how it's described. But the thing is much more complicated than that when you actually look at the details. And that's what this government's been about. And prior administrations, they make things so complicated that nobody can actually see how much they're being screwed. And we're also printing out money like crazy. 12 cents of every dollar the government's spending is just being printed out of the printing press by the Federal Reserve to pay the government's bills. So more of that will happen in the future. So we can have very high inflation, which will hurt the economy and indirectly tax people, because the money they did have will suddenly become worthless or worth less. And then we'll also have all these hidden extra taxes. So it's not a happy prospect for Social Security. I don't want to suggest it is, but I still think that politically you've got 38 million members of the AARP standing ready to beat senators and congressmen over the heads with their canes and wheelchairs and walkers if anybody tries to touch Social Security. So even the indexation that President Obama was suggesting got a lot of flack. And President Bush, of course, tried to talk about privatizing Social Security for younger people, or partially privatizing, and that led to a huge firestorm. And you had Representative Ross Inkowski before he got into trouble for stealing money from the Senate by issuing stamps or whatever he did, stealing money from the stamp kitty. they almost drove him out. You know, there were old people actually going after him with their, literally with their canes in Chicago for suggesting that they should pay a premium for drug benefits. And so Bush just gave them the drug benefits for free, Medicare Part D, and that whole bill, about $15 trillion, is being left for our kids and future kids. So the big moral issue of the day is generational policy. That's it's a disgrace. It's fiscal child abuse. We've left Social Security actually is in terrible shape, but compared to the overall finances of the country, of the government, it's actually looks pretty good. But the overall picture is that we need not a 32% tax hike, but a 64% tax hike for all federal taxes to pay all the government's bills that are projected to come due. And this is according to the CBO's, Congressional Budget Office's, projections. So we're talking about a country that's completely underwater fiscally and printing money like crazy. We are looking like a developing country. We're looking like Argentina when you actually look at the policies we're running. And everywhere you look, it cries out for fixing things fundamentally. Social Security, health care, we've got Medicare, Medicaid, employer-based health care that are driving us broke. Now we're adding Obamacare, which has a great result, which is going to ensure tens of millions of people. It's a marvelous thing, but it's a catastrophe about the way this is set up. It's going to be extremely expensive. It could explode in cost. So you've got potentially four healthcare systems, that each of which is driving the country broke, and then you've got a tax system which is unspeakable, and you've got a banking system which is unsafe at any speed. So if people are interested, we discuss in this book, The Coming Generation Storm, Scott Burns and I, how to fix this stuff. It's very simple how to do it. But and I have a website called thepurpleplans.org, thepurpleplans.org, that lays out very simple plans that have been endorsed by many Nobel laureates and by top economists for fixing these problems fundamentally very quickly. But we don't have any leadership in Congress or in the White House to actually make this happen.
We're close to the top of the hour. I know we have one more break, come back and ask about safe withdrawal rates when we get back from the commercial. Could we have a commercial,
yeah,
David?
Yeah, we can.
The Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, featuring the expert advice of Pittsburgh-based CPA attorney Jim Lang. More coming up on KQV AM 1410. The Lang Money Hour continues on KQV AM 1410. For all of your financial needs, turn to Lang Financial Group in Squirrel Hill, 412-521-2732. Let's talk more smart money.
And we have about another minute, so go ahead.
I wanted to thank our guest, Larry Kotlikoff, and he has given us a huge amount of actionable, great information. I'm going to recommend two of his books. One is called Spend Till the End by Larry Kotlikoff and Scott Burns, and the other one is The Clash of Generations, Saving Ourselves, Our Kids, and Our Economy, and then also his software, which can be accessed at www.esplanner.com. Larry, we have about 1 minute left. Can you tell us a little bit about safe withdrawal rates in 1 minute? Because I know you have some important thoughts on safe withdrawal rates.
Well, your goal is not to this 4% rule, which is spend 4% of your assets every year, is not particularly appropriate for anybody. These rules of thumb are nuts. What you're really trying to do is withdraw the pay so that you have the same living standard through time. And the CSPlanner.com has a software that actually can figure out how much you can spend. It's not so much how much you withdraw. The withdrawal issue is really about trying to minimize your tax burden. You want to take out the money at times when your tax rates are low, or again, do this conversion to Roth so that you can limit the taxation of your Social Security benefits. The real issue is smoothing your spending given your withdrawal pattern. So you want to do two things: optimize the withdrawal pattern, but also then smooth your spending. And the software can help you with that.
Thanks again, Larry.